That's great, Philip. I mean, you know, I was in both Walmart and Lowe's the last couple of days, so I can relate. So I understand. So we want to clearly define what comes next. All right. Now, how are we going to do this? Let me give you a couple of things that we're doing. Our creative team is working really hard. Stephen's meeting with the creative team just about every Sunday to put creative stuff around the messages that I'm doing. Now, it's keeping me on my toes because I got to let them know what I'm going to be talking about. And you know, they do a great job. And many of you have seen over the course of the summer and in the spring some of the results of what's happened there. Another thing that we're doing on Sunday morning, look, we talked about the shift that we talked about a couple weeks ago in our family supper that we're doing in our age-graded ministries. Now, if you weren't here for the Integrity Family Supper that night, you missed some pretty major stuff, okay? And then rather than take the time to talk about it now, I will tell you that there is a sheet about the age-graded ministries on the welcome table, right behind that thingy right there, the trifold, what, I don't know what they call that. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the trifold wood thing. So there is a sheet there. You can pick it up and look at it and read about it if you haven't seen it yet. But there's some major stuff on there designed to do what? To make Sunday a.m. excellent. Or not only Sunday a.m., but our whole weekend experience. You know, we got Celebrate Recovery doing their thing on Friday night. We got Release doing their thing on Sunday night. Okay, we got stuff in between. Okay, we want everything to be of excellence, absolute excellence. It's incredibly important that we do that. Well, I want to read you the story that came out of a magazine or a website called Lark News. And Lark News broadcasts Christian or news things that happen in the Christian community. Julie and Bob Clark were stunned to receive a letter from their church in July asking them to participate in the life of the church or worship elsewhere. They basically called us freeloaders, says Julie. We were freeloaders, says Bob. In a trend that may signal rough times for Wallflower Christians, Bellwether Megachurch Faith Community of Winston-Salem has asked non-participating members to stop attending. No more Mr. Nice Church, says the executive pastor, who was newly hired from Singular Wireless. Bigger is not always better. Providing free services indefinitely to complacent Christians is not our mission. Freeloading Christians were straining the church's nursery and facility resources and harming the church's ability to reach the lost, says the pastor. When your bottom line is saving souls, you get impatient with people who interfere with that goal. Faith Community sent polite but firm letters to families who attend church service and freebie events, but never volunteer, never tithe, and do not belong to a small group or another ministry. The church estimates that of its 8,000 regular attenders, only half have volunteered in the past 3 years, and a third have never even given a penny to the church. Before now, we made people feel comfortable and welcome and tried to coax them to give a little something in return, says a staff member. That's changed. We're done being the community nanny. Surprisingly, the move to disinvite people has drawn a positive response from men in the community who like the idea of an in-your-face church. I thought a church that doesn't allow wussies, that rocks, says Bob Clark, who admires the church even more since they told him to get lost. Well, Lark News is a satirical website. None of this stuff's true, all right? It's imaginary stuff designed to make you laugh. But in reality, there's an element of some virtue there. Do you agree? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what is it that gets in the way most of churches reaching people who are not yet in church? It's the people who are already in church and who profess to be in church. You know, the biggest deterrent from people coming to church a lot of times and understanding the gospel is the people who are already here and should be communicating and living the gospel out, because we don't do it. We don't live up to the standard that Jesus set. You know, the world, people, look, in the United States, folks, everybody knows who Jesus was. And the people who are out, who don't know him are looking for people who claim to know him and act like him. Because they've got enough of an idea of the life he lived, even if they didn't study God's word. You know, they've heard enough about him. I mean, Jesus is a fairly famous character in American culture. Would you agree? And so they're looking for people who are going to look like him and act like him. So that kind of leads us to our second missional thrust, and I just wanted to share that because I thought it was pretty funny. And that's engaging our strengths. We want to help you discover what you're good at. Why? Because we said last week that one of the things that we need to do in the worshipful lifestyle is in the spiritually maturing lifestyle is that we find self-expression through our diligent service to others. Through our diligent service to others. We got to recognize it's not all about us, as we said. And secondly, we said last week that one of the five habits is that we develop significance from reaching others through positive influence. Now, we talked about that last week. You can go back to your outline and see that. So what's the point? What's the point? Why is it that we want to engage our strengths? Well, look with me at what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Can I tell you this? The Great Commission does not happen on autopilot. Now, could Jesus put it on autopilot? Well, of course he could. He can do anything he wants. But he chooses not to. The Great Commission is fulfilled to the extent that those that he called to fulfill it will be faithful in carrying out the Great Commission. Does that kind of make sense? So here's what I want to, look at what he said. He said, therefore again, we're going to read, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach those new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, for many Christ followers, that's another one of those, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will kind of things. Okay? But that's not really what it is. In reality, that is the call. That is the call to, that is the commission to each and every one who claims to have a relationship with Christ. Now, so why is it that we want to help you engage your strengths? We want to see discipling, following Christ, occur through mobilization. Now, mobilization is all about those two things we talked about last week, serving others and reaching out, all right? Reaching out to others who don't yet have a relationship with Christ. Now, and so why is it we want to do that? Well, here, you see one already. First of all, service to others expresses our identity in Christ. It expresses our identity in Christ. Secondly, the kingdom expands when we reach out to others. That's the only way God's kingdom on earth is going to expand. Okay? Why else would it be any good to have the church? Okay? If it's not there to build the kingdom. Now, so many churches are geared around the idea of just, we're going to take care of us, and that's all we really care about. This is ugly, but, you know, I don't know how much Jesus hangs out in churches like that. I really don't. Okay? Frozen, chosen. That's true. There's a lot of truth to that. And so what we want to do is make sure that we never get stuck in that rut. And we live into the Great Commission, and if we recognize that the Great Commission is not something that's put on autopilot, but it's something that each of us team together to work on, then, you know, things can work. Things can work. Now, how are we going to do that this year? How are we going to really do a better job of engaging our strengths and discipling through mobilization? Let me tell you, we kind of started this some last year, too, before we really began to unveil it. And we had a couple staff positions that were really geared toward helping out in this role. And both of those staff positions were vacated about the same time in January, pretty close to the same time, as we know. You know, by the way, so y'all know, Chuck will be down here with us pretty soon, but he and Megan are doing great at Samaritan's First. Just want to let you know that. They're getting an Operation Christmas Child. We are going to do Operation Christmas Child as a church. I will tell you that right now. We're going to make it a big deal. Ms. Peggy Parks, who led us in that back in the early days, Peggy's right back there on the back row, is going to take the lead on that ministry again this year. And we're going to take in at least 500 or 600 boxes. That's what you're going to do this year, okay? So I'm going to tell you now, plenty of time in advance, when it comes time to sign up, I want every family to sign up for 5 or 10 boxes, okay? You can do it. You can do it. And we're going to do that. So anyway, but here's the point. Mobilization of believers is how the Great Commission gets fulfilled. That's what happens. How do we do that? Well, we're going to do a better job of communicating expectations. What do we expect of you? How do we take what God's Word says and how do we translate it so that God's Word can be carried out so that we can be faithful in living in a hectic society? You're all busy. You don't have time to do a lot of the things that we're talking about today or the things we're going to be talking about. But most of us, the truth is, we just simply don't want to make the time. We've entered into a lifestyle of complacency at some degree. And let's face it, we've allowed, and I've done this too. Look, everything I'm talking about today, I'm speaking from the school of hard knocks and experience. We've allowed our children's activities to take precedence over things that are for the good of the family. Okay? And the whole idea is, I've got to let my kids do this because such and such lets their kid do that. And, you know, how can I let my kid be left out and da-da-da? I'm not saying to let your kids do things. I'm just telling you, find out early what they're good at and really focus on helping them get along in those areas, okay? If they're not a basketball player, but they're a really good soccer player, let them play soccer. You know, don't say, hey, do you want to play basketball? Because such and such down the road's playing, you know? You've got to balance your time, because you will go crazy as a parent, okay? You got to remember, parents, that our number one goal, our number one focus is to be the spiritual leaders of our families, okay? Not the color commentators at the ball games, all right? And I'm just picking on ball because, I coach three different sports, with my kids. So I know. I've been there. Been there, done that. Know what it does. Well, so how are we going to do that? We want to do a better job of creating expectations and communicating them. And we're going to be doing that. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. We want to alleviate your fear of the next steps. You see, so many people don't move forward in the Christian life because you know why? They're scared. There's an inborn fear that they're afraid to talk about. And there is a fear of inadequacy. There is a fear of failure. There is a fear that, what will other people think of me? And you know what? We're just going to unmask that fear in the coming year. And we're going to talk honestly about it because it's there. And we're going to really be focused on helping you get over that fear. And we're going to help you understand that there's really nothing to fear. The fear is natural. It really is. I'm not trying to bang on you or anything for that. The fear is natural, and we understand that. But we want to help you overcome that. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to live a natural life. He wants us to live a supernatural life. You see, and when we begin to get over those things that are in the natural, we can begin to understand His power and how it works. We want to improve our leadership for our disciples. We're gonna bring back a leadership development program this year. And guess what? Somebody other than me is going to lead it, and I'm so excited about that. That's a beautiful thing. We're gonna develop a better process for developing your strengths. We're going to be putting more stuff online. I'm working with our web guru. We've already talked about some things to do to put one of our first classes online so you can have access on our website. We're behind on that. We are. We've there are churches that are so far ahead of us in regard to that. Well, what are some of the major things we're going to do? In your What's Up is a handout. I want you to look in your What's Up and pull out the handout that has Equip You on one side, as in Equip University, all right? And I don't know if I have mine, did I? I thought I had it, and I didn't bring it up here, do you? Anyway, look in there, and you will see on either side, can somebody just hand me that? Thank you, Dad. There he goes, bailing me out again like he has for 48 years. Notice the Equip University. This is what we're going to be doing at two campuses. We are partnering with Brookwood, but Equip University from here on out, we listened to what you said in a survey that Jamie Sanders put together a few months ago, and this is the product of it. We are going to be hosting classes at Integrity on Tuesday nights. We're going to be hosting classes at Brookwood on Sunday nights. Now, both churches can go to any class. You do not have to go to the church, to the campus that is your church. You can go to either one you want to, okay? We want you to look at what the class offerings are. Now, this doesn't start till mid-October. So we're going to be posting this. We're going to let you know what's there. And we want you to begin thinking already about the things that you want to do. Why? Because we want to help you grow in your learning, all right, so that you can take it and apply it. The other side of that is the things that you learn here, we're going to give you opportunities to live it out in your lives. So I'm really excited about so many of these things that are going to be going on. The teachers are very qualified. They're wonderful people. You may not know them all, and that's okay. That doesn't matter. Because you know what? A lot of people, if you don't know, and you're saying, well, I don't know them, so I'm not going to go. That's one of those fears you got. That's one of those fears you got to get over. All right? So trust us if we've given you some pretty good instructors. All right? And so I want to encourage you to do that. As a matter of fact, I guess Jamie's already fixed it, so you can sign up already. I didn't even realize that she'd already done that. So you can tear that piece off at the bottom, and you can go ahead and sign up for classes today, and that'll let us know what we need. Rick is going to provide childcare here on our campus on Tuesday nights. Brookwood will provide it on Sunday night. All right? So true partnership, where we're trying to pool our resources. On the other side of that, you're going to see many of you, oh, look, there's 101 again. We're all back to this. This is the description of our revamped class system. this is about the orientation into the life of an integrity. Now, I'm thinking about, so many of you have been through all these classes, some of you have. I'm thinking about, we may just ask everybody to do them all over again because they're new. They're new. And it's time to re-up on our commitment. Now, well, we're going to help because we're going to put it on a website. We're not going to have the long classes because we're going to have some pre-work that we're going to ask you to do before you go. We're switching things around. We're taking the content of the classes and we're making them more contextualized with regard to who our church family is. So that's some of the things that we're doing that I'm really excited about. We just look at that. As soon as Live Like You Were Dying is over, we're going to really be hitting this hard. But we're going to do a Connect class, a 101, on September 21st. These classes are all going to be held, 101 through 501, are all going to be held right after church, right after the second service. We're going to provide a hot meal, a real lunch for you before we go into the class time. And if we do our pre-work, which is going to be available 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks prior to the schedule of the course, we'll be able to move rapidly through the class, okay? So every third Sunday of the month, that's when those will be held. Well, I want to tell you the story about one time somebody came to me after the 11 o'clock celebration, and the lady looked at me and she said, Pastor, Tony and I met during this morning's meet and greet time, and we'd like for you to marry us. Well, that was a pretty effective meet and greet time, I thought. So that leads us to the third thing that we want to make sure that we do. That's authentic connections. That's our third missional thrust. We want you to experience authentic connections as a part of the ministry of the body of the family of Integrity Community Church. Now, how do we do this? Our goal is to drive biblical community into all teams, including small groups, ministry, and mobilization teams. What's a ministry team? That's principally the folks that do stuff here on campus. Who are the ministry teams? They're the folks, those are the teams that focus on doing things off campus. All right? We're thinking of Eastbrook. All right? By the way, I think we've got a return engagement with Ramona on stage with us, Stephen, sometime in September. Is that right? So she's going to come back and sing with us, so that's cool. And that's things like we do at the homeless shelter. That's things where we go to West Virginia. That's our Cambodia team that's heading out in just a few weeks. We've had another one go on here. The Guatemala team that went. So all these things are more mission teams. But small groups. Many of you are in small groups. How many of you, and I include Celebrate Recovery as small groups, how many of you are engaged right now actively in a small group? All right, maybe you've taken some of the summer off, but generally you're good. All right, it would be wonderful if everybody was a part of a small group. And hopefully during Live Like You Were Dying, during the campaign, all of us, as many as possible, will get engaged in that. But we recognize, too, that not everybody's going to be able to do small groupism forever. So what we want to do, and we've been working on this, Stephen and Rick have been working on this and doing a really good job, I think, is building this whole idea of connection into the ministry teams, okay? Because small groups, see, here's the thing. Sometimes in church, we get hung up on the delivery systems. In the church world today, particularly in denominational life, there is a big war about small groups versus Sunday school. Well, those are just two ways of delivering something that the Bible says needs to be delivered. There's nothing sacred about either one of those. The question is, what is it that Sunday school and small groups were designed to deliver? What is it that the Bible says is important? Well, here's a few of those things. Authentic connections are really about three things. Having fun together, okay? Number two, providing healthy relationships. Because, doesn't the Bible say something about hanging around the right people so you'll act the right way? All right? Hopefully, one of the best places for you to find the right people are those that you would find in biblical community in a church family. And third is to care for one another. Now, by the way, the church cares for each other. Why is this important? Because the church cares for each other through relational connections. We care for each other. I got one of the best phone calls I've ever gotten in my 12 years here, 11 years, 12 years, whatever it is, this week, when a lady called me and she said, Bud, when you were talking last week about Live Like You Were Dying and the need for everyone to get connected into the body, she said, I got it. She said, I finally got it. So I've taught Sunday school. This is a lady probably in her late 50s, okay? I've taught Sunday school for most of my life. I've always gone to church. I've learned more in integrity than in the past year than I have in all those years, she said. All right. And then she going on to say, she said, you know, she said, I finally got it because I always thought it was the job of the pastor to go do all the ministry. And when you were talking last week about how the body is to take care of each other in the context of groups, in the context of biblical community, she said, you know what? It finally clicked. I finally got it. Can you imagine the euphoria that came over me when I get a phone call like that? And it called to mind the verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that we just went through last year. Paul said, he, talking about Christ, is the one who gave gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. She got what that verse is saying. That the church is there to equip. And the leaders of the church are not there just to do it. You know, the elders pray with you at 10 o'clock not to give you a spiritual, warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay? And it's great if you get that, but a big part of what they want to do is to help teach you how to pray yourself. Does that kind of make sense? One of the things that Potsy does in leading the worship ministry, all right, y'all remember Potsy, right, on Happy Days, I tell him, Potsy could sing too, so, you know. One of the things that Potsy tries to do is not just to lead you in worship, but he wants to develop worship leaders. You know, we saw Kyle today do a pretty doggone good job today in leading. We've seen others do that as well, okay? So it's all about equipping, and the beautiful thing about this phone call is that she got it. She got it. It was so incredibly important. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we don't have time to tell you about that, but we're going to define the process for growth. We're going to reestablish our small groups. We're going to communicate our expectations for growth. We're going to tell you what it is we expect. We're going to do a better job of that. I'll admit that. We've heard a lot of campaign speeches lately, right? I know what I'm sounding like I'm doing one of those. But anyway, we're going to practice obedient stewardship. You know, I realize from time to time, my staff all the time tells me, you know what? We need to really talk more about giving. Well, we do, because that's an incredibly important part of stewardship. And we're not going to apologize for it. You know, you can look on the back of your, I don't have to tell you, you can look on the back of your What's Up and you can kind of see where we are this year. You know, and that is, you know, it's, and our budgets are not stretching budgets, folks. They are not stretching budgets. They're really not. We must embrace financial stewardship. We have to. And we want to integrate community and equipping a lot better. How are we going to do this? Well, here's a great place to start. If you have yet to sign up, as Amy mentioned a few moments ago, for the Live Like You Were Dying small group campaign, inside your WhatsApp is a sheet for you to sign up right now. You can do that. I encourage you, because you were not meant to live life solo. Now, here's why this is important. You may say, you know, I can't do this on an ongoing basis because my life is so hectic right now. I got to cut some things out. I got to, you know, I got to make priorities. I got a new baby, da 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 da. And I totally understand that. Can you at least try to do it for 5 weeks and get a taste of it? And then if you can't keep up after the 5 weeks, that's cool. But you will at least have experienced it, and maybe you'll be able to make a decision, something like this, that will say, you know, I can't do it, you know, for the first few months after Live Like You Were Dying, but you know, that's something I want to work toward. I want to work toward building margin in my life to be able to meet in small groupism, or ministry team, or mission team, or something like that. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to try it and see how it tastes. You know, I have my little girl. She's my little 7-year-old. She's, many of y'all know her. If you don't, you know, she's probably going to come up and ask you for gum or a dollar or something like that at some point in time. She loves going to the mall food courts because they've got all these people out there who have on the little toothpicks, you know, the little pieces of chicken here and there. And she will make her rotation if we don't stop her at least 3 or 4 times and get as much of that stuff as she possibly can. You know, and that's what we need to do in the body of Christ. We need to be not so afraid to go taste it. Because when we taste it, we find that, hey, it's not that bad after all. And you know what? After I've sampled 3 or 4 of those places, or like she does every time we go to a mall food court, you know, she finally, Dad, let's eat there. And by the time we order her food, she's already full because she's filled up on all the samples. But, and I waste my money. But you see, that's the point. That's where we need to go. We need to be not afraid to sample and taste and see what it is that we need to do. Well, how do we make it stick? How do we make this stuff? We got to communicate. communicate. I'm going to communicate until I make you puke, all right? My goal, one of my staff members one time said, "You'll never make me cry." Guess what? I made her cry, right, Jamie? And we made up real quick, but we laugh about that, you know? I want to see you puke, you know, if that's what it takes. And then we're going to talk about it some more. Why? Because the gospel is pretty simple. And you know what? The church that carries out and lives out the gospel doesn't have to be complicated either. It needs to be simple. Straight ahead. Let's keep it simple and let's move forward. That's the clarion call, I believe, that God gives his church. And that's the direction that we're going this year. Thanks for hearing me out today. I hope that today has been a helpful time. I know we went over a little bit, but I know this is the last Sunday I can because we got our kids stuff starting next week. And I do want to invite you, we're going to pray in just a moment. I would invite you to join us in the conference center if you'd like for our time of prayer over the situation with Hurricane Gustav. That's a very serious situation, a very desperate situation for so many. And I can only begin to imagine the angst and the just the trepidation and the fear that so many rightfully have who live in that area of the world. So if you would like to join us, we invite you to do that. Another thing, Jamie Sanders is here. Jamie's at the welcome table. She is there to help you if you need some assistance figuring out what might be the best Live Like You Were Dying group for you to be a part of. She'll be there as long as you need for her to be. So please take advantage of that opportunity. She will be happy to consult with you and help you find that right group for you. Thanks for being here today. Don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards and your sign-up sheets in the boxes in the back, along with our offering, along with our tithes, which God expects from those who call Him to be their Savior and our Lord. Let's pray today, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the day and your love. Thank you, God, for your commands that you've given us, the great commandment, the great commission, such good stuff. And yet, God, so often we take it for granted. But I think, Lord, one of the issues is sometimes we read that and we think it's great, and, Lord, we really don't know how to carry those things out. So, God, as we try to do a better job collectively as your family of defining how we can carry those things out and living that out, God, I pray that your blessing will be upon us and you will multiply and magnify the message that you want told as you want your kingdom to be built through the work of this church body, this church family. We pray for your blessings on all of them, their families, that you will keep the enemy at bay, keep him from having any effect whatsoever in the lives of the folks that are here today, and their families, their friends, those who are close to them. Thank you for your love and your grace. And God, we do lift up those in that part of the country that are likely to be impacted by this horrible storm. And we pray, God, that you will just do something that will show just how great you are, God, whatever the case might be, that in that will be something that will glorify you. Thank you for your love and your grace. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for being here today. See many of you down in the conference center. Many of you, go see Jamie, and she is just waiting to help you to find that right place. Thanks. God bless.